Tonight's sermon topic is about pitfalls. Things that we as Christians should think about and try to avoid that would become more profitable to God here in our life here on earth and serving Him. In this lesson, I'm going to try to make the point that you shouldn't get caught up in wasting your time on unimportant subjects and leave the most important subject, the gospel plan of salvation, neglected. And this is something that's come to my attention as I have been this week, this past month, approached by an individual and gives me a bunch of tracts of Jehovah's Witness and says, here, take these and read these. So I, of course, sure, okay. And I read them. And it's your typical tracts about Jesus coming to earth, setting up an earthly kingdom. You know, and everything's at peace, and everything's wonderful, and all of that. And there is this subject of Jesus returning to earth and setting up an earthly kingdom. He's coming here to reign, and some people say it's for like 1,000 years. The details about this earthly reign are vague. If I've asked people, I said, are people going to marry in this time, in this 1,000-year reign? This apparently happens after the resurrection. The Bible teaches me that Jesus said that after the resurrection they would neither marry or be given in marriage. He's very plain about that. Turn the book of Mark. Read what Jesus said about it in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 24. Because these people that asked him apparently had the idea that people were still going to be married. You know, they asked him about the seven brothers that had the single woman, had no offspring. They want to know whose wife, which one of them, whose wife is she going to be after the resurrection? And Jesus answers in verse 24, Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. Unless there's some kind of caveat that I haven't come across or I don't understand. It's my understanding that after you die and after you're resurrected, that's it. You're not going to be married and you're not going to get married anymore. So in this 1,000-year reign, I would have to assume that if there are men and women there, male and female, they're not going to be married. Which is kind of an interesting situation for a whole 1,000 years. The details about this 1,000-year reign, which I personally don't believe is going to happen, but a lot of people believe that. A lot of people are very interested in that subject. I asked, are the people going to eat? Are they going to drink? Are they going to sleep? Are they going to have sewer plants? They don't know. They can't answer these questions. But one thing that I think I've pretty much gotten most people who believe in this subject to agree on is that everybody there is going to be saved. not going to be any lost, unbelieving people saying, hey, Jesus, you're not really the Jesus, you're not really God's son, you're not really the Christ, you're not, you know, you're not the Lord, no, you're a fake, you're a, you know, pretender. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have unbelieving, unsaved people there. And I think that's one thing I've gotten most of the people who believe in that particular subject to agree on, is that everybody there is going to be saved. And you know what that means? That means that the whole subject of the thousand-year reign is irrelevant. As interesting as that subject is to think about, maybe discuss, ponder, it's irrelevant. If everybody there is saved, and everybody that was lost has no more chance to be saved, it's over. It's all over. What, there's no more point. Personally, I can't understand why Jesus would want to exist like that rather than live and rule in heaven. But if that's what he wants to do, I'm sure it's okay. I'm sure that's fine, but it's still irrelevant. So why do people spend so much time on this subject? You gotta get a whole handful of tracts for somebody, and I'll bet you if I ask them, somebody that just regular guy off the street, regular John Doe that doesn't know much about religion at all, after he, if he had read them, if I were to ask him and I were to say, okay, sir, would you mind telling me what you need to do to be saved? He probably wouldn't be able to tell me. He said, well, I read about this thousand-year reign, the lions are there, and sheep are there, lambs, and they lie down together, and this and that, and well, what do you need to do to be saved to get there? I don't know. Spent a lot of time talking about that subject. The really important subject is the gospel plan of salvation. Since today is the day of salvation, since now is the accepted time, since God has entrusted us, has entrusted man, with the job of preaching the gospel, going into all the world, preaching the gospel, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, teaching people that they need to repent and be baptized in the name of God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be baptized, to be added to the group of saved believers, telling people what they need to do to be saved. God has entrusted man, as incredible as that may seem, sinful man, with the power of the gospel to save. So, you can do a lot of things with your time. You can go to people when you go to them, and you can talk about the rapture. You can talk about thousands of things. You can talk about a lot of things. Prophecy. But is that really relevant? Is that really what's important? I can't see spending all that time on something that's not really relevant and leave the most important subject of all, the gospel, of how to be saved, neglected. I'll give you an example of being relevant and being irrelevant. Now let's say that God gave me a gift of knowing when, where, and how people were going to die. That I could tell, I could see it, I could foresee it, I could envision it. And I'd know when, where, and how. So let's say Cookie gets struck by lightning walking into the church building this coming Wednesday. I don't know about it. So Wednesday comes, and I say nothing. I know about it. Cookie's right there, I can tell him. The words whereby he could be saved. Instead, I choose to do nothing. I talk about this and that and the other thing. People might ask me afterward and say, they might ask me, why didn't you just tell him how to save himself? They might ask me that afterward. I might just shrug and continue to talk about how things might have been, how things are going to be for people, how things are going to be for all of us. After it's all said and done, after the judgment day. In the meantime, as I do that day after day after Cookie's passing, I continue to talk about all kinds of things. More people die, more accidents happen, more. But I decide not to tell them the words whereby they need to be saved. Now, wouldn't you think that would be stupid? That would be wasting my time. I mean, God gave me a gift. Let us focus on telling people the words whereby they can be saved. Another thing is people want to know the future. We find that people, during your lifetime, some people get obsessed with wanting to know about the future. Well, God has revealed certain things about the future to us. And God keeps certain things in mystery. Things that He doesn't want us to know about. Nobody's going to uncover it. Just like you've had so many people, I know good well, that you've heard many cases of people talked about in the world. End up going up into the mountains and what have you, and they spend a lot of time talking about the end of the world. Well, I can tell you, I believe, and I think you do too, that the end of the world is coming. But God has also chosen to make this subject a mystery. Matter of fact, Jesus told His disciples, now, why take my word for it? Go to the Bible, and it tells you that no man knows of God. Not even the angels in heaven. And still people are obsessed with knowing about when is the end of the world going to come. Well, I read the book of Daniel, and I read this, and I read that, and they spend all this time talking about the end of the world. And then if somebody says, well, it's going to be on October the 13th in the year 2009, and they all go run up to the mountains and all that, and the ones who really believe it, and later on they come down. Well, must be a mistake in our calculations or something. Why spend so much time being obsessed about something that God has chosen to keep and remain a mystery? It's going to be a mystery, just like He said. No man's going to know. Not even the angels in heaven. Why worry about it? And neglect the truly important job of telling people the words they need to know whereby they may be saved. The gospel. You don't want to spend your time worrying about the end of the world or the rapture or the thousand-year reign and forget about the most important job God has ever given man. And that is to preach the gospel. So I want us to focus on what's important. Now, some people get very focused on the lost loved ones. There are a lot of lost people in this world. But some people focus on their lost loved ones. And you know what? They end up spending so much time telling the same thing to the same persons over and over and over again. And they don't tell that message to everybody else. Well, that's a pitfall. I call that a pitfall. I call that something to avoid. But you see how easy it is to get caught up in something, whatever it is, and neglect preaching the gospel. You could get caught up in your job.
Job is very important.
You get caught up in your job. They know that. A lot of people say, I couldn't be there Sunday. I couldn't be there last Sunday. I couldn't be there the Sunday before that because I had to work. My job's important. Well, what was really important? When it all comes down to it, what's going to be important? Family, friends, job, whatever. I could say. You neglect the gospel, and you end up lost. Are all those other things really going to be important? Not hardly. What good is all that if you end up lost? People still get wrapped up, though. They get wrapped up in predictions of the future, remote viewing. Spend a lot of time. But that's not what's really important in your life. Knowing the words whereby somebody needs to be saved. People like miracles.
They like this idea of miracles speaking with him. That's another area.
They like this idea of having this special power. Well, what good is it? What good is it? This being able to speak in tongues and all this. We already know what the gospel plan of salvation is. I know it in English. And if you speak some other language, like Spanish or whatever, I can get somebody to tell you in Spanish. They get all wrapped up in this ability of speaking tongues. Well, the Apostle Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. He just got finished talking to these people about all these, how important is this, how important is that, how important is it to speak in tongues. And all that. And he's trying to explain to these young Christians what's really important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse beginning of verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others. Also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Well, that's pretty simple. Paul's saying, I would rather speak five words that I knew what I was saying so that I could teach you what you needed to know to be saved than 10,000 words in some tongue I don't even know what I'm saying. Where I don't even know what I'm saying. 10,000 words. I could just go on and on. You can imagine how long it would take you to say 10,000 words. And Paul's saying, you know what? I'd rather just say five words that I may teach you so that you could be edified, so you could be taught what you needed to know. And I would know what I'm saying. That's really putting it into context. Now, how many of us don't know those words? that Paul's talking about. How many of us don't have a Bible? It's clearly written in English. We don't need to speak in a foreign tongue that we've never learned how to speak, because we've already got it right here. We've already got what we need to know right here. And the really important thing for us to know is not about the rapture. It's not about the 1,000-year reign. It's not about when and which day the end of the world's coming. It's the gospel. The simple, basic gospel word whereby men may be saved. Hear the word of God. Believe that it is the word of God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Creator, His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, so that you can have a remission of sins, so you can be added to the group of saved believers. Do these things. So simple. So easy. I didn't have to use a tongue, a foreign language, some language I never learned to speak, to tell you that, to tell anybody that. The important thing was to teach people what they needed to know to be saved. Our speech needs to be primarily focused on preaching the gospel. Another pitfall is choosing a career that puts you in a compromising position.
There are many careers.
Okay. If I choose to join the CIA, and I don't have anything against the CIA, but if I choose to become part of the CIA, what if I get put into a position where they want me to do something that's not right? Like, assassinate somebody. You say, well, you can always quit. Well, you can always choose not to choose that kind of career, too. There are many careers like that. You might get asked to do something that you're not supposed to do. Choosing friends that put you in a bad situation. Sometimes, I say, you don't, you can't choose your family to do your friends. Well, you can. But choose them wisely. Because if you choose friends that like to party and drink, and you're around them, and you're away from mom and dad, and everybody's having a great time, and they're passing the bottle around, and they pass it to you, it's a lot easier to drink out of that bottle under that kind of circumstance and that kind of situation than it would be if you weren't in it. Think about it. You think it'd be easier to take a swig of whiskey here in the church building? This is not an environment where that would be so easy to do. But put yourself out there at night, park somewhere with your friends, your rowdy friends. And mom and dad's not around. You put yourself into that kind of situation. See how much easier it is to take the drink. Don't even put yourself in that situation. Think about it ahead of time. Avoid that pitfall. Because once you go down that road, you're going to have problems. There are going to be consequences. You're going to get drunk just like everybody else does. When you get behind the wheel and kill somebody, you're not going to bring them back to life. Whether it's your best friend that happened to be riding in the seat next to you. Because there's been plenty of people. I read the newspaper a lot. I work at the newspaper. I read the newspaper all the time. And there's another story about somebody who got drunk, got behind the wheel, and killed somebody. And you're not going to bring them back to life. No matter how much you cry about it, no matter how remorseful you are, so they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. tiny little ounce of prevention, a very lightweight little bit amount of prevention is worth a whole pound of cure. So don't put yourself into that kind of position. Avoid it. That's where easy God says, flee from these things. Flee from sexual immorality. There's a reason. It's a lot easier to run away from it and stay away from it. It's a lot easier. And once you get involved in it, a lot of bad things can happen to you. Better to avoid it than to go through it. Why would you want to go through something like that? That's not very smart. But the important thing, what is the important subject of tonight?
You know what the gospel is?
Yeah.
It's good.
Do you know the words that God has entrusted man with to tell other men how to be saved? To avoid. Well, there you have God trying to get you to avoid something as horrible as an eternity being separated from Him and in Him. He's saying, avoid it. How do we avoid it? By you doing your job? By you doing what's really important? These other things aren't important. Rapture, 1,000-year reign. As I said, if this 1,000-year reign comes, nobody there is going to be lost. Everything's over. It's over with by the time you get there. Whether it happens or it doesn't happen, it's still over with. It's done. Everybody's already lost. They're not going to be saved. Don't waste your time. Focus on the gospel. Focus on telling words, the words whereby people need to be saved. And you would do well for God. You would do well for your Lord Jesus, for Christ, if you focus on what's important. And what's important is the gospel. It's not these other things that I pointed out. Those other things, and believe me, it can be very easy to fall in one of those pitfalls, one of those traps. And you're thinking, this is important. My job, miracles, being able to speak in tongues, picking a career that puts me in a bad situation, picking friends that put me in a bad situation. These things can be seen as very important. Lost loved ones, in the world. All those things can seem very important to you. They're not. There may be somebody in the audience tonight who has not obeyed the gospel. And we always give you an opportunity as we come here and we preach. Each time we meet, we have the opportunity, the invitation. We offer the invitation to anyone. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, but if you do believe that God exists, you believe that Jesus is His Son, that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Savior, He came to this world, He died, He was crucified on the cross so that you can have the forgiveness of sins. He laid down His life. He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. If you believe that, then repent of your sins. Turn away from the life of sinning and live following in the footsteps of Jesus, who knew no sin Himself. He did not sin. Follow in His footsteps of not sinning. Turn away from the life of sinning. Repent of those sins. Make the confession before this group and this audience tonight that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of God. That you're ready to call Him Lord. You're ready to obey His command to be baptized in the name of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, so that you can be added to the group of saved believers, which is His church. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is spiritual. His kingdom is heaven. Are you ready to become a part of it tonight? If there is anyone subject to the invitation call, please come forward as we sing our invitation song.